Be reading John 8, verses 12 through 20. It's in the midst of a larger narrative of things that are going on, a larger story, and I'm reading just a portion of what Jesus says here. You should know that this is in the context of a festival of lights that happens each year for the Jewish, in the Jewish calendar, and Jesus comes and speaks of the light that he brings. Beginning in verse 12, I'll read through verse 20. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? And Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. I wonder how many of you have had this experience, something like I have had as well. You get up in the morning while it's still dark, and you don't want to disturb anybody, so you tiptoe around in the dark, and you gather your clothes and take them to the bathroom to get ready for the day. And once you get to the bathroom, you turn on the light and you discover, I grabbed the wrong clothes. Tim Chester describes this in a book that he recently wrote on the Advent, and it's a very understandable illustration of light and darkness. He ends his story this way. He says, When I turn on the light, then all is clear. And usually what is clear is that I picked up the wrong clothes. But that phrase I really like. When I turn on the light, then all is clear. When I turn on the light, all is clear. It probably won't take you long to think of how there are a variety of places throughout Scripture where the theme of light and darkness comes up. And there's a very common theme that runs throughout all of the Bible. It goes from Genesis to Revelation. In the very first chapter, God spoke and said, Let there be light. And there was light. And at the very other end of the Bible, in Revelation, we find the New Jerusalem descending from heaven. And in the New Jerusalem, there is no need for the sun or the moon because Jesus Christ is its light. And so that theme of light and darkness is one that runs throughout all of Scripture. And I'm going to use that analogy today, especially because of the words of Jesus. He is the one who said, I am the light of the world. He who follows after me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. My intention today is to speak of the confusion or the darkness in which we live, and to point out that Jesus has come into the world as light, and to call you, therefore, to not remain in darkness of untruth or unbelief. I'm going to begin with darkness, though, and I begin that way because, in a sense, that's where we all begin as well. It's a familiar part of the Christmas season to hear the words of Handel's Messiah. I mentioned those last week, too. But right at the very beginning of Handel's Messiah, it quotes from Isaiah chapter 9, The people living in darkness have seen a great light. So for Jesus to come and to proclaim himself as light, we need to begin by understanding the opposite of light. And what is the opposite of light? Well, it's darkness, right? Yeah. Darkness is the opposite of light. What does it mean then that people are living in darkness? Now, here it's not talking about a physical darkness. It's not as if there is an eternal solar eclipse and there's darkness so that you can't see physically. What Jesus is talking about, and what the Bible uses light and dark to illustrate, is to show a spiritual condition. And darkness represents sinful ignorance and a rejection of Jesus Christ. It wasn't always this way. In the very beginning, God created mankind to live and to walk and talk with him in the garden, and to live in perfect harmony. We could say that they lived in the light. But like I described last week, when mankind sinned, there was a brokenness to that intimate fellowship between God and man. Instead of being with the Lord, walking and seeing him face to face, there was a brokenness between mankind and God. That produced that hunger, that emptiness, which was the subject last week. But it also produces darkness. It produces the darkness of sin and of ignorance and of rejection of God. Let's pause here and just think a little bit about the profound effect that that darkness has on your life. It must be said that you see things differently if the light is different. You know what it's like if you put on shaded glasses or sunglasses. We have in our minivan tinted windows. And it's actually a little hard to see at night because the tint is so heavy. We sometimes have to roll the window down so that we can see out at night because the tint is so heavy. Well, you know a little bit about that as well if you ever put on sunglasses or something like that. Imagine, though, if instead of just having on tinted glasses that you were completely blind. That would greatly affect the way you interact with the world. The same could be used as an analogy to describe how a world without God stumbles blindly around, fumbling, trying to make sense of the world around you. Being blind would physically, you would have that sense of bumbling around and trying to find the things that you need. Imagine that spiritually, trying to find the meaning of life, how you should live, how you should choose one thing or another. And without the light of God, without the light of Christ, instead you're living in darkness and blindness. It's a general confusion about life that grows out of the darkness of sin. Is it any wonder then that there is that general sense of confusion in our world today? We have a wide variety of incredibly diverse worldviews that are competing to gain the upper hand. The most notable would be the idea of sexual identity. Cut off from God comes to mean all sorts of different things. It's a fumbling around in the darkness seeking for meaning. That's just the most obvious. There are a variety of others. Individuals seek for meaning in their lives through the pursuit of their own pleasure, through the pursuit of gratifying whatever desires that they have, through the pursuit of money, through relationship, through some through solitude, some through knowledge, all just kind of fumbling around, feeling their way through the dark, trying to find that sense of meaning. Let me show you how this happened in Jesus' day then. When Jesus proclaimed that he was the light of the world, you might imagine that everyone would flock to this light. that they would see it and they would say, aha, here's what I've been looking for. But the Pharisees refused to even consider Jesus' claim. When Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, I am the light of the world. And the Pharisees said this, you're bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. I would suggest that that's just a sneaky way of them saying, nuh-uh, kind of like a child on the playground saying, oh, I'm the greatest basketball player. The other child goes, nuh-uh. And that's a little bit of what the Pharisees do here. They don't use the childish language. They use a little more sophisticated argument by saying, well, you need more witnesses. But really, they're just not wanting to hear what Jesus said at all. And they just deny it outright in a childish way. They were blind to the light. They were blind to the truth of Jesus, even though he stood right in front of them. Even though his words were the words of God himself. Their ears were plugged and their eyes were blind. John describes this elsewhere in his book. In chapter 1, he hits the nail right on the head. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he says of Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. It goes on in verse 9 then. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. And that's man's natural condition. John describes it point on, and then this experience in chapter 8 with the Pharisees just reveals it over and over again. But it's not just the Pharisees, all mankind, without Jesus Christ, are spiritually dead, spiritually blind. That's all of us. I'm not just pointing my finger back to the Pharisees. Every man, woman, and child enters into this life spiritually blind. And the source of that blindness it might be surprising to you. It's not because of not being convinced. It's because of that condition of sinfulness. You see, it's tempting to think of that people don't believe because they aren't convinced. But this experience with the Pharisees makes it clear that the opposite is true. The Pharisees weren't convinced because they didn't believe. Or to put it a different way, they didn't see because they couldn't see. They didn't see because they were blind. They and all mankind are naturally blind in this way. That helps to understand the condition of the world that we are in. It helps to understand that we live in a world that is naturally born in sin, that is naturally not inclined to come to the light, and that rejects Jesus. It's not because they are unconvinced. That's because they are born blind. And we too were in this very same condition. The fact that we are born this way does not relieve us of any responsibility. And that comes through in Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees as well. You'll notice that he doesn't say, well, you can't see because you can't see. Instead, he rebukes them. He rebukes them for their blindness, which implies a sense of their shame, their own sinfulness, and the responsibility that every man has to come to the light, even though blind, to recognize that light. I have to say that this is a sobering assessment that you must take to heart. Man's blindness is a terrible thing. It's not something to pass off as just something that is natural. It's not something that is that can be blamed on God to say, well, how can you expect a blind man to see the truth? No, Jesus himself rebukes those who are spiritually dead in their sins, rebukes the unbelief of the Pharisees. Let me make this comparison. Imagine someone who says, I don't believe in the sun. I don't. You can't prove to me its existence. Go ahead and try. I don't believe in the sun. And yet every day I go out and I enjoy all of the benefits of the sun. I enjoy the fact that I can plant gardens, grow flowers and tomatoes, and eat the fruit of that garden. I even have to shade my eyes from the sun. But I won't admit any of that. I will stubbornly maintain I don't believe in the sun. Well, that's kind of foolish, isn't it? You just kind of scratch your head at someone who would say that and say, can't you see? But that's the attitude that rejects Jesus as well. Everyone enjoys certain benefits of Christ, of the triune God. Every person enjoys these benefits. We enjoy the benefits like rationality. We enjoy benefits of order and morality. Nobody questions the idea that the world somehow makes sense. Well, actually, there are some people that question even that. And yet, they argue in such a way that makes sense. No one in their right mind argues against the sun. It's shameful and foolish to do so. And in a similar way, we would say it's shameful and foolish to argue against the existence of God and the person and work of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And I say that very carefully, understanding that it's actually kind of in vogue right now to take the stance of a skeptic. I pointed this out before, and I will again, because I hear it more and more. It seems kind of hip to question all of the world around you, to say of the world, you know, I'm completely content for you to be convinced of God, but I'm a skeptic. And because of that, your truth is not something that has any bearing on me, because I'm a skeptic. And the skeptic goes on to say, you know, all of this stuff about the creation of the world out of nothing, Jesus born of a virgin, rising from the dead, I just don't get it. And I'm cool with that. Well, there's a place for Christ to say, shame on you for your unbelief. The one who made the world is before you. And you say to him, I'm a skeptic and I'm cool with that, and you should be cool with me. And Christ rebukes that unbelief of living in darkness. Instead of applauding your skepticism, Let me challenge you to stop refusing to acknowledge the light of Christ, to consider that you might be wrong, and that the Maker of the world is surely wiser than you, to come into that light of Jesus Christ. So let's consider then what Jesus said. Jesus did say, "I am the light of the world." Jesus came proclaiming that and said that he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If we go back into the interaction with the Pharisees, Jesus does answer that childish na'ah of the Pharisees. They said, "Well, you only are saying this by yourself, and that's not good enough." And so Jesus takes a step and one-ups them in a sense. He says, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true." He claims the authority to speak and to declare himself as truth. But there's more to it than that. And he calls in another witness as well. He goes on to say, "For I know where I came from and where I am going." I want to point out a couple of things about what he says here. There are two aspects of the truth that come through in Jesus' words. The first is that the truth is true. Well, that should be obvious, but it is necessary in today's age to speak of ultimate truth. Truth that is true. That's been used a lot recently as well. The college group might remember Dale Tackett talking about true truths and speaking about how important this is. In this case, Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he had come from heaven. He knew that he knew the meaning of being fully God and fully man. He said, "I know where I came from, and I know where I am going." He knew the beginning, he knew the end, he knew his purpose for coming, he knew the cross that awaited him. He knew all of these things. And because of that light, because of that truth, he could live and he could minister without any fear in the midst of those that would challenge him, either in a childish way or in a refined way. He was not shaken in his understanding of the truth, because it was true. I'd like to compare it to being out camping on a cold, dark winter's night, and you have a flashlight that you brought with you, but you forgot to check the batteries before you went out camping. And it starts off with this very weak yellow light. And you know that kind of sick feeling on that dark night. And you just hope that your flashlight's going to last through the night. But it only lasts about 5 minutes. And you're trying to set up your tent in the dark, and by this flickering light, and it goes dead. But then your dad goes to the car, and he gets out his brand new LED mega flashlight, and he turns it on, and it's like, yeah, it's a beam of light so bright that you could read by it. You can actually, it might even look like a lightsaber. Some of these new flashlights are that way. Now that's a light, right? That's a true light. There's no doubts about what you can see and what you can do with that. And there's something about Jesus' declaration that has that sense of clarity and sense of brightness. Jesus knew who he was. The skeptics will tell you that Jesus did not know who he was, that he wondered about being God, that he wasn't sure about his purpose on life, that he felt his way along and finally came to the cross. But that's not the truth. Jesus knew exactly who he was. He knew that from all eternity that he was God. He knew that from all eternity that he lived in fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. He knew that he had been delegated to come as a Savior to the world. And he came with the full knowledge that that would mean the cross. And yet he came, and he served, and he obeyed, and he went to the cross, knowing that truth. And he could proclaim, then, I am the light of the world. And he could say that those who follow after me will not walk in darkness. And there is an incredible appeal to this I am statement. Last week we considered how the hunger or the emptiness of mankind is satisfied by the bread of life. And here Jesus says, come, follow after me, and you will no longer walk in darkness. And that means that you can trust the truth of Christ. That gospel is true, and that when he promises that he will forgive your sins, you can trust that. It's a light shining in the darkness, and you don't have to fumble around under the guilt of your sins, wondering whether or not God would ever forgive you. Well, the light is that Jesus says that all who come to him, he will forgive. You don't have to fumble around wondering what the meaning is of life, what the purpose is for you. For Christ has called you to follow after him. That as you follow after him, that he will guide your steps in the light of his word and in the light of your ways. And by the way, as you turn on that light, my guess is that you will find that you may have picked up the wrong clothes somewhere along the way. That's just the way it is in this world. My guess is that even for you as a believer, that you still stumble throughout this life, sometimes having willfully blinded yourself to the light of Christ, and then you come to the Lord's day and you come into his presence and you say, look at what I've done. Look at what I've done again this week. It's not that your shoes don't match your belt. It's that you have followed after the values of the world. You followed after the desires of this world, that you've believed their truths, so-called truths. You've been living your life in conformity to with what they say is valuable. But then you come into the light of Christ and it shines on you. That truth of Christ. And it shows who Jesus is and who you are. It shows you the light that is truth. Well, be comforted, my friends, that one of those promises is that even so, God forgives. And that as you stumble around in that darkness, and as you sin, that the Lord has promised to forgive. Well, I pray that for you as believers, that you would understand that. Let me speak frankly as well to you if you are still holding yourself at the outside in the darkness, still clothing yourself in some sense of skepticism. And let me invite you to see the light of Jesus Christ. To recognize that not only have you stumbled around putting on the wrong clothes, but you've probably skinned your knees on trying to figure out the meaning of life. I would urge you to stop beating yourself up. Stop bumping your shins, to look around and see the light that does shine in the darkness, the light of Christ. There is a second thing about these words of Jesus that I especially appreciate. And he speaks about that second witness, his Father, And it is that the truth here is unified, or the truth is one. Jesus says that he and his Father are one. You can see this in verse 16. He said, "And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true." Remember, he's standing on the truth, and so can assert authoritatively the truth that by which he judges. But then he also goes and he adds this important confirmation. He goes on in verse 16, "For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness." There's a lot contained in that really profound statement. We could use it to go on to speak about the Trinity, about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in this context, I want to talk about the unified nature of truth. The Father and the Son are one. And the Father and the Son say the same thing. The truth is unified. You see, there's no idea in the Bible about a truth for you and a truth for me, and it doesn't matter that those two things actually conflict, that they are both somehow true. That just does not make sense, for one thing, and it's an impossibility. It defies the definition of truth. Truth has to be true, right? We can also say, and again, in this society, we can say that the truth is unified. And that part of the light of Jesus Christ is to bring this unified nature of truth to us. The truth that is true one place is true in another place. The truth that is true for one person must be true for another person as well. And this is the light of Jesus Christ. One unified, true truth. That light isn't muddied, it isn't uncertain, it is crystal clear, pointing to the one and only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Since you students have just come through a time of testing, let me put it in a multiple choice question. Answer this. Which of these is true? A. All roads lead to God. B. Many roads lead to God. C. One road leads to God. Or D, all of the above. The ever-present all of the above, right? The world would answer D, wouldn't they? Even though A, B, and C are all mutually exclusive, they're saying three different things. And they cannot go together. But the world just kind of wipes that all away and says, hey, if it floats your boat, go for it. It doesn't float mine. What's true for you is not true for me. So get out of my face. Well, we're not the ones getting in your face. When Jesus comes, he comes proclaiming authoritatively one light of salvation, one way of forgiveness, one way to be with God. And you can stumble your way around continuing in spiritual blindness, but do not claim that to be true. It goes against the light of the gospel. It goes against the revelation that Jesus has made. Jesus is the light of the world. He and His Father proclaim the very same truth. And so Jesus can say to know Him is to know the Father. He can speak about how He alone is that light that brings life. Once more, this is very appealing, isn't it? It's appealing to know that there is a way of salvation, that there is true truth in the world. And that if you have ever scratched your head wondering about how all of these different truths can maintain themselves, you're wondering the right thing. There is ultimate truth. And that is based on the ultimate truth of Jesus Christ. So the invitation is to recognize that. To admit that you cannot come to the light yourself. You cannot convince yourself. You yourself are blind and need Jesus Christ. Let me take one more step here today and speak very directly to the children of the congregation. Your parents are raising you to understand what the light is. They're raising you to understand your own need of Jesus Christ. It is sometimes the case that children will grow up and they will say, I doubt my parents. I wonder what they say is true. I wonder if what Jesus says is true. And they come sometimes to despise the faith of their parents. And they refuse to recognize the light of Jesus Christ. Well, my prayer is that today that you would hear this truth of the light of Jesus Christ. And that even at a young age that you would recognize that light. And that you would come to say, yes, Lord Jesus, You are the light of my salvation. I pray that you would always sing Psalm 27 with faith, saying that the Lord is my strength, the light of my salvation. That you would be able to sing, even as you may have been trained at a young age, the Lord will light my candle so that its light will shine full bright. That, in a sense, children's song is so full of meaning. And my prayer is that you would accept that light of Jesus Christ and follow after Him all the days of your life. It is Jesus who delivers us out of the domain of darkness. It is Jesus who brings us into the kingdom of light. I pray that you would live in that light day by day. Amen. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to recognize the truth of Jesus Christ, that we would repent of our stubborn closing of our eyes to the truth of Jesus Christ, that you would forgive us of the unbelief that we struggle with so often. For Lord, we often do adopt the values of this world and the so-called truths of this world. Forgive us of this, O God, and help us to recognize the light of Jesus Christ that shines in a dark place. For Lord, you did come to be the light of the world. And in you, we have life. And having that life, Lord, help us to walk in the light of our redemption. Help us to walk each day recognizing the truth that you give to us in your word and walking in its light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we'll close by singing Psalm 77a. In Psalm 77a, once more, we speak about the